Welcome back to the Home of Explanations. You've got More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning. And in this segment, we welcome to the microphone Tiffany Shudden. Welcome back.
Thank you, Gene.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm just nervous.
You sound like me.
I'm scared because I'm so I'm not used to being on radio. No, wait a second. That was you. Actually, I was teasing. I have a presentation I'm doing to a couple hundred folks afterwards. Town I grew up in has a historical society, and apparently I'm a historical artifact now.
You're an artifact?
Apparently, they would like me to come back, talk about my elementary school days.
Oh, nice.
And so they've invited me back, which astounds me, because in the third grade there were several instances where they invited me not to come back. So that's some of those things. Reverse mortgages.
Yes.
You've been doing them a while.
I have been doing them a while. I have been doing just reverse mortgages for about the past 14 years.
So for those folks out there that scratch their heads and they wonder about reverse mortgages and they see Tom Selleck on TV.
Yes.
And they say, geez, it sounds intriguing, but I'm nervous,
right?
Because it's their home,
exactly. It's a topic. It's very interesting to people. Mm. They think it sounds too good to be true.
Mm.
They just do not know enough about it, and that is why I'm here to educate people on the subject.
Education is the key to making intelligent choices.
Exactly.
Because sometimes the answer is reverse mortgage is perfect, and other times the answer is we shouldn't be doing this.
That's right. Sometimes it just doesn't fit, and sometimes it is the perfect solution for whatever their situation could be at the time. It's just you need to learn about it. You need to see if it fits your situation. Mm. There are too many misconceptions out there about the program, things you will hear from your neighbors, from your coworkers. You will hear, well, my aunt had a reverse mortgage and this, and this happened. You don't know the behind the scenes. You really need to learn about it from an expert, from someone who does this, you know, for a living. And then we can see if it fits the situation.
So before we get into the kind of the basics, listening to our show this morning, people are going to pick up a little bit of information. We hope a fair amount of information. But in terms of their specific circumstance, what's the best way for somebody to explore the reverse mortgage and see if it fits them?
I would meet with them personally.
Oh, one-on-one.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Which is how I operate. I would meet with them personally. We would have an initial meeting. We go over different scenarios. The reason they're calling me is they have a need. There is a need that they're looking into the reverse mortgage, whether it's to supplement their retirement income, whether it's to eliminate a mortgage payment so they can retire, whether it's to increase the longevity of their current portfolio, whatever it is, they have a need or they would not be calling me. So then I meet with them face to face. We discuss their situation. We look at different projections, and then we see if it fits or it doesn't fit.
Right. What does that cost?
Oh, there was no cost for that.
All right. So somebody's out there thinking, I think I do have a need for a reverse mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
I would like not just general information. I want to know specifically for me. You meet with them one-on-one. You can help them determine whether it does or doesn't. And there's no cost for that.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
There is no cost for the initial meeting.
Let's talk just a little bit more. I really like the way you phrased it, that people are calling because they have a need. Generally speaking, if everything is fine, hunky-dory in someone's financial life, the term reverse mortgage does not spring to their mind because there's no need.
Right.
So let's click off a couple. Hey, I'm kind of running short of money.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a need.
The need to, well, with what's going on with the stock market, you know, right now, there may be a need to supplement their retirement income. A lot of people will put in place what they call a reverse mortgage line of credit, use that money when they need it instead of taking it out of their portfolio in a down market. Life circumstances change. I'm actually working with a client right now who you would never think, and of course they never thought, there would be a need for this.
Mm.
couple years ago, his wife had a stroke. They do need, there is the need for in-home health care, which is incredibly expensive. They own a home. They own a free and clear home. This is the perfect solution for them. They never thought they would need one, but their circumstances, unfortunately, have changed. And this will work out very nicely for them.
Oh, God bless them. God bless them. So, needs are as variable as the human beings that we talk to.
Yes.
So, I mean, the easy ones are, hey, I thought I had enough money for my retirement. I'm kind of running out of money. I need more money. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at my home to provide some of that. We'll talk in a moment about how that works. Or, hey, I thought I could handle all my expenses. I've got Social Security. I've got a decent pension. But this mortgage payment is really crunching me. So that's a pretty common or pretty reasonable expectation. Or there are things that I would like to do. Mm-hmm. We've always planned on that trip to Europe. We've always planned on that trip out west. And we're fine with our expenses, but that extra, that would be tough.
Right.
But the reverse mortgage would work. And then my wife has a stroke. And I want to make sure she's comfortable in her own home. I want the care that she deserves and needs. And the home is the asset that we can look to provide that.
That is exactly the situation with the client that I am working on, you know, right now.
Bless them.
And like you said, every client has a different need. Mm. Some are, you know, like you said, to retire your supplement income. I'm working on a case right now where they're using the money to buy a second home. So there are many different, they want, you know, this particular couple wants to enjoy their lives now, and they had always wanted a shore home. So that's what we're doing for
Fantastic.
Them.
Mm-hmm. Let's give folks the basics of a reverse mortgage. And we'll start with the HECM reverse mortgage.
Yes.
And then we'll graduate a little bit. But how does the HECM reverse mortgage work?
Well, the HECM reverse mortgage is the home equity conversion mortgage. That's just the proper name for the reverse mortgage. It is an FHA-insured government mortgage specifically designed for seniors. Anyone who's on the deed to the home has to be 62 years old or older.
Okay.
And what the reverse mortgage allows the client to do is turn a portion of their equity that they've built up in their home throughout the years into cash or into a liquid asset without having to make mortgage payments as long as one of the homeowners is still living in the home.
Got it.
Now, of course, the client has to continue to pay their taxes, any association dues, homeowners insurance.
Sure.
But a lot of my clients use the reverse mortgage to help pay their real estate taxes.
Sure.
But like I said, there are no payments required on a reverse mortgage as long as the one of the homeowners is living there. That is not to say you cannot make payments. This should be thought of more as a mortgage with an optional payment plan. You can make payments if you would like. They are not required.
So I'm going to feed this back to you. You tell me if I got this right. For whatever reason, we just talked about a few, I would like to access the equity in my home. I am 62 or over. Fantastic. So I qualify. That part I know. I know I'm going to get a part of the equity in my home. If my home is 300,000, I'm not going to get 300. I'm going to pick a number and I'm going to say we'll get roughly half of that.
Yes.
I'm just
you
guessing.
You are right. It's roughly half.
Roughly half. Mm-hmm. And then I have created a mortgage. I have my house and there's a mortgage against it, just as there was many years ago when I bought it the first time. Mm-hmm. I still have to pay their taxes and keep it up and pay the insurances just like
as
I
you
did
would
before.
With any
exactly,
mortgage.
Sure.
Correct.
So the only thing that's different about this mortgage, no, that's not true. One of the major things that's different, I don't have to make any monthly payments.
Yes, and there is no end term on this, as there is with a typical conventional mortgage. I should say the end term is when the last homeowner passes away or sells or is no longer living in the home.
But that could be 40 or 50 years from now.
Exactly, exactly. With a typical mortgage, there's a 15, 20, 30-year term generally. With a reverse mortgage, there is no term. The loan is not due until the last homeowner passes away, sells, or it is no longer their primary residence. So that is the main difference.
Passes away is clear, sells is clear, no longer their primary residence. That means they had to move out, either into typically a nursing facility or with a child or got it. So as long as somebody's in the home that's on the original reverse mortgage, there's no payments necessary or required. And eventually, 35, 40 years from now, one of those three things is going to happen.
Correct.
God's going to take me home. I'm going to sell the home because I've got other plans, or I'm no longer living there. Then what happens?
And I should point out, the if the last homeowner is moving out of the home permanently, the loan is not due until the last homeowner is out of the home a consecutive 12 months.
Oh, okay.
So if the homeowner has to go for a short-term rehab stay, say 3 months, whatever it might be, the loan is not due. Once they are out of the home a consecutive 12 months, then the loan would
be
due.
And then
the
what
home would be sold. The home would be sold, whether by the homeowner or what more commonly happens with reverse mortgages is the estate sells the home. People do reverse because they want to stay in their home. It helps them age in place if that's what they so chose to do. So what more commonly happens is when the estate sells the home, whatever is owed on the loan at that time is paid back from just from the proceeds from the sale of the home, and whatever's left goes to the estate. And that's one of the bigger misconceptions. People think or they have heard incorrectly that the bank owns the home or the government owns the home. And once the homeowner passes away, they take the home. That is not correct. In that respect, it works just like any other mortgage.
Very good. Very good. Okay, so I have a $300,000 home. I do a reverse mortgage for half of it, roughly $150,000. I know that there's interest accruing over many, many years. I'm one of those fortunate long-term longevity kind of human beings, and 40 years from now, my $150,000 that I borrowed, I owe back $500,000, and my house is worth $400,000. I've kind of stuck my kids with a bill.
Absolutely not. And that's exactly why, Gene, the loan is FHA or government insured. The government insurance and the home equity conversion bill was signed into law in 1989 by Ronald Reagan, and that gave it its non-recourse feature. And what that means is the estate or the borrower, whoever sells the home, can never owe more than what the home sells for on the open market.
Fantastic.
So even if that should happen, like it did many times in 2008 and 2009 when people were passing away and their homes were worth half of what they were when they made their reverse mortgage and their balance exceeded the value, it is a non-event. FHA makes up the difference.
Fantastic. So kind of has a little bit of a feel of that fixed indexed annuity where they say if the market goes up, you go up. If the market goes down, you don't go down. Has kind of that feel. If the home appreciates in value and there's equity left when the homeowner passes away, the beneficiaries, the homeowner's beneficiaries receive that.
They do.
Net amount, just as they would if they had been a mortgage paid off, a traditional mortgage paid off. But if the markets go against us, and in my example, we owe 500 against 400, there's no additional $100,000 being paid by anyone out of the beneficiary's pocket or out of the estate.
No, there is not. We cannot attach any other assets. No deficiency balance can pass through the estate. It's just through the sale of the home.
So far, so good. HECM has been around a long time. Ronald Reagan, my man. Excellent. Fantastic. Recently, we've been hearing more and more and more about non-HECM reverse mortgages. Some writers refer to them as private reverse mortgages or corporate reverse mortgages.
Proprietary.
Okay, very good. How are they different than HECM?
They are. They still have the same non-recourse feature.
Okay, good.
So, like I said, you can never owe more than what the home sells for.
Great.
The differences are, first off, with our program is called the Equity Elite Program.
Okay.
The youngest homeowner can be 60 years old. They do not have to be 62 years old. The program works better with higher-priced homes because with the FHA program, the actual HECM program, there is what's called a lending limit, and that lending limit is approximately $726,000 right now. And what that means is even if the homeowner has a $1 million home,
right.
FHA is saying for these purposes, your home is worth 726, and we are going to give you approximately half of the 726. With the Equity Elite or the private program, there is not that lending limit. So if the home is worth $1 million or $1.5 million or $2 million, you will be able to use that entire, you may have 40% of that entire value available. So in some cases, it will give you more money. And so it does work better with higher priced homes.
So roughly speaking, the HECM mortgage, we're looking at a $700,000 house. Roughly, the borrower could look at roughly $350,000.
Yes.
If we are looking at a $2 million property under the Equity Elite, roughly 40%, that would be $800,000.
So yes.
Under traditional HECM, $2 million home, $350,000, $375,000 max.
Right.
Under the Equity Elite, $800,000.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's the give up?
The interest rate is higher. First off, this is with the Equity Elite, this is a fixed interest rate. The interest rate right now is varying anywhere between 5.8 and 6.7.
Okay.
So it is.
It's a higher interest rate.
Yes. Yeah. It is a higher interest rate than the traditional HECM. Another major difference is you cannot set up a line of credit like you can with a traditional HECM.
Lump sum.
Yes. A lot of my clients, especially if they're using it for retirement planning purposes, they will use the HECM because they're able to set up that line of credit. Let's say, like you said, they have a $150,000 line of credit available on a $300,000 house. If they don't need it right away, they leave it sit in a line of credit and use it as they need it. With the Equity Elite, you do not have that option.
Got it.
You have to take the money that's available as a lump sum. So it works better for clients who have an immediate need for the money, such as to pay off a big mortgage and eliminate that mortgage payment, or to consolidate other debts, credit cards.
Good.
Like I said, I'm actually working on one where they're purchasing a second home.
Nice.
So
again, I'm using demos. We have a $2 million property. We've always dreamed about that shore home. It's going to cost us $600,000 or $700,000. In the absence of the Equity Elite, for example, I got to come up with $600,000 or $700,000, or it's my monthly expenses are going to go up to the tune of $4,000 or $5,000 a month, or I can use the equity in my primary residence, pull $600,000 or $700,000 out, go pay cash for my home at the shore, and now I've got my primary residence and my home at the shore. And as a financial advisor, I'm quickly checklisting the things in my own mind that I would say wouldn't work. So I would want to make sure, number one, my kids are not expecting to live in my primary home, because if that's the case, I don't really care what the interest rate is. Let it grow as high as it wants to be, because either the house is going to cover it or not.
Right.
We don't care. The shore home has been paid for with cash.
Yes.
So that will be the legacy I can leave to my kids. And hopefully that will go up in value. Very, very, very interesting.
And neither house has a mortgage payment to make.
So it gives me a lot of flexibility from a cash flow standpoint.
Yes, exactly. Almost always, well, always the reverse mortgage increases your monthly cash flow. By not having to make a mortgage payment,
right,
or by having a standby line of credit, using the money as you need it.
A lot of folks out there right now are listening that are either retired or soon to retire, and many of them still have a mortgage payment. Many.
Most of my clients do, to be honest. They do.
Many of them still have. So, I mean, there was a time when if you were 60 and you still had a mortgage payment, that was because you were a bobo.
Yes.
That's not the case anymore. People have refinanced and they've done lots of things. So again, if the difference between being able to retire and not is this mortgage payment, let's say you have a $300,000 house, you owe $100,000 and your payments are $1,200 a month, and you're going, if I didn't have that, we could be retired. reverse mortgage could be an answer to that.
And it very often is. I have many clients in that situation where they want to retire and it's just that mortgage payment that is preventing them from doing that. Or they're taking their monthly mortgage payment from their portfolio, which then, of course, their portfolio is not lasting them. But
a lot of pressure.
Yep.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. We just have a few minutes left. I want to make sure that our audience hears. If I go for a mortgage, I've got to have a pretty strong income. I've got to show the bank I can pay it back, yada, yada, yada. What kind of qualifications financially must I have in order to get a reverse mortgage?
We do have to look at your overall credit history. It is not as stringent, and we're not what they call FICO score driven. Some programs are. The Equity Elite program is FICO score driven, but the FHA program is not. We basically look at your overall history. We have to make sure your taxes, homeowners insurance, any association dues have been paid on time in the last 2 years, as well as your mortgage payments.
Okay.
FHA will not say you do not qualify if your credit standards are not where they should be, but we will require you to escrow for taxes and homeowners insurance as part of the loan.
Okay.
So that's part of the big picture. It's not nearly as stringent to qualify for as a conventional mortgage.
So I don't have to have a job. I don't have to have strong income.
No, you do. There isn't what they call a residual income requirement, or we will have to establish the tax and homeowners set aside. But like I said, we're not going by typical debt ratios like you would for a conventional mortgage. A lot of my clients, if they're lucky enough to have a pension, but most of them are on Social Security and they do qualify. So every situation is a little bit different.
It also depends
on what their monthly expenses are.
Since every situation is a little bit different, I'm hopeful that your company has a website that people can go to and learn a bit more about that.
Yes. The company I work for, we are a direct lender, a national reverse mortgage direct lender. Reverse is all we do. The name of our company is Reverse Mortgage Funding, or RMF. We are headquartered in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
But they can certainly go to the website. Like I said, it's Reverse Mortgage Funding, or call me. And I am happy to go over all of the basics. I can send you out some information. Another great resource is the National Reverse Mortgage Lenders Association. You can go on their website. That's a wealth of information about reverse mortgages.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Tiffany, thank you.
It was my pleasure, Gene, as always.
Appreciate it very much. Gosh, I hope I didn't sound too nervous. Oh, wait a minute. Again, she's so nervous. It's great. We just have 2 minutes left in this edition, or my apologies, this segment of More Than Money. So we thank Tiffany Schutte, our reverse mortgage expert extraordinaire.
Thank you, Jim.
And we've been working together for a very long time. And often when we have issues, Mark Basak is a good example. John knows Mark very well. He's our Social Security expert. Fantastic. Mike Pompei is our life insurance expert. We often recommend that folks talk to someone they trust. And that is, sadly, in this day and age, it's hard to find.
Yes.
So if you have questions about reverse mortgage, you should be talking to the person that we trust to give you the accurate information that you need. How much time there, sir? 30 seconds. When I come back, I've got to talk to you about the recession rumors, and we've got to make sure that you understand exactly how you should be responding to that. I got a fistful of emails and a whole lot more. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. We'll take your calls and emails after this on More Than Money.
I'm giving for your
Welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got more than money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor. Our thanks to Tiffany Shutta, reverse mortgage funding, reverse mortgage expert extraordinaire. As many of you might recall, Tiffany, protege of John Kreisa, one of our very, very dearest friends who we lost far too young. John had a wonderful firm, wonderful people, and now Tiffany is affiliated with a nationally recognized firm, RMF Funding, and RMF Reverse Mortgage Funding. Not RMF, Reverse Mortgage Funding. That's if I were stuttering. And doing a fantastic job, has assisted quite a number of our clients. And if you would like to have an absolutely free consultation with Tiffany in our offices, if you wish, just let us know, gene@askmtm.com, and Connie and Stephanie and Sue will work hard to arrange that for you. And again, thanks to Tiffany for taking part of her Saturday and spending it with us. I was teasing her. She always says she's so nervous. She's perfect for radio. She gives such clear answers. She's very, very clear, very, very strong voice, and she's fantastic. Me, I'm nervous today because, again, if you were with us earlier, you already know I will leave here. I'll go speak in front of a couple hundred people. It's far easier to speak in front of John. Just me, John, and the wall, and 67 stories up at the iHeart Media Tower. It's so. It's the whole elementary school thing. I'm just, ooh, yowza. I mentioned previously that I would just briefly talk about Woodstock. Indeed, 50 years ago this month, two things happened that month. I was 15. I was working at a resort near our home where I grew up, and the moon landing. We watched that in the lobby of the hotel, where they had, for the time, they had a big screen TV. Actually, it was a small screen TV and a huge wooden cabinet. You remember those? Where if you were really something, you had a thing that was like 11 feet long. The TV itself was probably, 20 inches maybe. But that was rather remarkable. And then the chance to go to Woodstock. I had two very close friends, Jimmy Ayers and Bill Mick, that they knew what they were talking about. Hey, you're off tomorrow. You want to go? I had no idea what they were talking about. I had no idea. Woodstock, Bethel, I had no idea. And from where we were working, under normal circumstances, the drive might have been about an hour and a half. We never got closer than about 3 miles, might have been 4 miles, and then we walked in. It was an eye-opening experience. First time I ever heard Joe Cocker, first time I ever heard Richie Havens, fantastic. First time I ever heard Santana. I had heard Jefferson Airplane a number of times. I wouldn't say I was a big fan until I got to see Grace Slick, lead singer. And by that time, they played very early in the morning. And by the time I saw her, we had worked our way to 20 yards from the stage. And goodness, what a vision she was. It was remarkable. So I am officially a historical artifact. I mentioned the pyramids at Giza. This is the presentation of the geezer. So it'll be great fun. Great fun. I am nervous beyond belief. It is crazy talk. If any of my classmates are there, they're going to... I was the biggest bowhead on the planet. It was... Are you kidding? I will tell the story here that I will share shortly, only in this, just to give you the context. Third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. By the fifth grade, I was convinced my mother was a witch. Exactly. strong Christian woman, I was convinced she was a witch because the word psychic was not in my vocabulary. I'm 11, 12 years old. I don't know the word psychic. What I do know is that it made no difference, none whatsoever, what kind of trouble I got into in school. By the time I got home, the bus, she was waiting at the bottom of the steps of the bus, and she knew what that she's a witch. Come on, how do you like? And then it occurred to me several years later that the school secretaries were ratting me out. Hey, Mrs. Dickinson, you might want to know what happened today. But I was convinced she was a witch. How else does she know? Plus, she had those big kettles. No, I'm kidding. We were a big family. She had big pots and pans. 610-720-7900. Again, thanks to Tiffany Schutter for taking part of her. Oh, thank you very much. We had a young lady call asking a question about reverse mortgages and what might happen after folks pass away. And the house is passed on to the children. What expenses must the children face? Well, easiest way to understand it is to simply think about what expenses would the children face if there was a standard mortgage, a quote-unquote normal mortgage. Well, they would have a couple. Number one, they have to pay off the principal balance. So let's say you had a $200,000 home, you had a standard mortgage, you had borrowed $100,000, and over the course of 4 or 5 years, you paid it down to $90,000. So far, they owe $90,000, and there might be a few $100 in legal fees. That's all. To satisfy the mortgage, file it at the courthouse, yada, yada, yada. So that's what they would face. Ah, now let's talk about reverse mortgage. You borrowed $100,000. 5 years later, with interest, it's now $125,000. Same, basically nominal expenses, a couple $100 in legal fees, pay off the $125,000, and the balance of the equity of the house is the children's. So very straightforward. Again, with a reverse mortgage, and I think Tiffany explained it very, very well, it is a mortgage just the way you understand mortgages, except you have the option of making payments. You are not required to make payments. It's a very, very cool, very interesting idea. One of the things that we didn't talk about, I'll just mention real quickly, be the difference between the HECM mortgage and the Equity Elite, which is in essence a proprietary product, a private mortgage. HECM mortgages have closing costs up front that are pretty substantial. And unless you're borrowing a fair amount of money and unless it really does fit you, probably you shouldn't be doing it. And you certainly should not look at a reverse mortgage as a short-term solution. It's not like borrowing money for a month or two or three. Not a good idea. The Equity Elite, on the other hand, the fees are $125. Whoa. So you could go from several thousand to $125. The terms are very different. Very, very different. So when you would counsel, have that initial consultation, absolutely no charge, with Tiffany, she's going to look very carefully at your circumstance, your needs. What is the need that's driving you to have these questions? And then see which fits best. If any. 610-720-7900. Recession. This week we had, at least momentarily, what's referred to as an inverted yield curve. I know. Don't you feel kind of just a little sleepier now than before you heard the phrase? Nothing kind of like throwing algebra at you on a Saturday morning. Numbers and letters all jumbled up. Algebra. Can't we just keep to ourselves? Inverted yield curve. Lots of folks, lots of economists will tell you that an inverted yield curve, I'll explain in a moment, signals a recession. Not exactly true. If you were a competent economist and an accurate economist, you would more likely say that often when there is an inverted yield curve, a recession follows. But not always. Not always. So, important to know what an inverted yield curve is. We'll use some very simple numbers because it's Saturday morning. Don't want to get a headache. I got a big presentation coming up. If you borrow money for a long period of time, let's say 30 years, let's say you're borrowing a 30-year mortgage. Currently, you would pay slightly less, but we're going to use simple numbers, 4% a year. That's the interest rate. If you were to borrow money for a short period of time, let's say a year, you might pay, think CD rates, you might pay 1%, 1.25%. So the relationship between interest rates and how long you have to pay the money back or to be paid back generally is the longer you go, the higher the interest rate. An inverted yield curve says, oops, it went the other way. The further out you go, the lower the interest rate. So short-term rates are higher and long-term rates are lower. That's inverted. That's upside down. When that happens, it's typically a signal that economists, that financial experts, investment experts are fearing that the long-term prospects of the economy are not good. They don't want any money out there. And the short-term prospects, emphasis short-term, are reasonably good, long-term or not. That's why an inverted yield curve is sometimes referred to as the canary in the coal mine. Because if your interest rate curve inverts, turns upside down, it's an upside down frown, it is often the first indicator that a recession may be on the way. And for literally 48 hours this week, the yield curve was inverted slightly, not dramatically, slightly. But it was. And a lot of folks, particularly financial reporters, come in two flavors. Folks who have studied this literally for decades, and they have a very seriously educated insight into how these things work. And former art history majors and English lit majors who came out of college with their watch yourself there. I'm not sure anatomically that's possible. But anyway, they came out in liberal arts and then all of a sudden realized people don't pay for that crap often. And they had to become reporters. Lovely. And they are reporting on things that they have no real knowledge of. No real knowledge of. So that's kind of what we're faced with. Now, having said that, is a recession on the horizon in the future? The answer is likely yes, because in financial systems go through cycles. They go through ups and downs, exactly. And so you say recession, people go, oh, my heart's stopping. The world is ending. And that's just silliness. Because your heart did not stop, the world did not end the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 recessions that you probably have experienced in your lifetime. The American economy has been expanding at a remarkable rate since the election 2.5, almost 3 years ago. After 8 years of, barely moving, it expanded dramatically. Is there a slowdown in the future? In this particular case, I'm referring to the next 12 months. I think, sadly, yes. I think the timing may be unfortunate for the election prospects of President Trump, who has seen pushing 3 years of tremendous growth and would love to have the election occur at a point where the growth is at its peak. Is a slowdown likely? The answer is yes. And I'll explain to you in a moment why I believe that. A slowdown is not a recession. We're currently GDP growth over 3%, some quarters over 4%. If we regress to growing at only half of that, we're still growing, and it's not a recession. That's what I'm anticipating over the next year or year and a half. If the reelection goes appropriately, you can determine in your own mind what that means. I think the slowdown occurs. I don't know that we see a recession, but I think it's something that we need to be adult about and be prepared for. Why do I think the slowdown over the next year, year and a half is likely? Jobs. Now, some folks say, well, sure, if we don't have enough jobs, that's going to create a slowdown. That's not my basis for making that statement. Currently, we are still creating jobs at a very strong rate. I believe July's rate was about 170. Very, very strong. The real problem today is that the employment utilization, the percentage of Americans who could work that are working, is at a historic high. It is huge. It's beautiful. Wages are going up. People that want to work are working. It's just fantastic, except if you are an employer. As an employer, if you're looking to hire, you are a machine shop and you want to hire a machinist. Right now, if there is a machinist out there that has good training, good skills, he or she is employed. They're not sitting around going, gosh, I wish I had a job. If they want a job and they've got skills, they're employed. So what would I have to do in order to convince that person who has a job to come work for me? Well, one of a couple things. I either have to present a far better wage package or a far better fringe benefit package or some combination of the above. In other words, I got to pay. And as a result, even though I need, in order to grow my business, I need that employee, I'm paying more. My profits are likely to drip lower. And as a result, this full employment that we're currently facing, as wonderful as it is, as fantastic an accomplishment as it absolutely is, and it is doing two things. It's pushing wages for employees higher. Anyone with skills is being paid more than they were 2, 3, 4 years ago. And number two, it's reducing profits. So companies that are currently announcing record earnings. Walmart this past week, record earnings. Over the next year or two, they're going to face the realities that hiring more people is going to be one of two. They're going to find them one of two places. Either they're already employed somewhere else and we've got to sweeten the pot. Now, when I say sweeten the pot, I'm not talking about that's not what I'm talking about. You know, the compensation pot. Or I've got to go find somebody who has no skills or minimal skills and train them. And training is expensive. And that eats into profits as well. So do I believe there's a slowdown coming? I do. I think it's somewhere in a year to an 18-month time frame. Would not surprise me if the economy stayed relatively strong, cutting interest rates, etc., through the election in November of next year. Would not surprise me if shortly thereafter there is a slowdown maybe even a long ramp down to a shallow recession. Recessions are not all the same, so it could be a very shallow recession before things kick northward again. Why do I expect things to kick northward again? If I am hiring somebody and it's costing me more to hire because I've got to lure them away, I've got to sweeten the pot from another employer, yes, I'm gonna suffer in the short run. But at least in theory, adding that new employee is gonna help me earn more. I'm gonna be able to do more projects. I'm gonna be able to create more revenue. I'm gonna be doing more and more. So after a short lull, maybe 6 months, 9 months, a year, then we should pick right back up. Or if I'm hiring some wet behind the ears child coming right out of high school or college, and I have to train them, I'm going to have a hit to my bottom line for training costs. I'm going to have a hit to my bottom line for the fact that they're going to need to ramp up with their experience. But once they get there, then again, we're going to grow. So you see how the cycle could flow. Now, these are all these are all my opinions. These are all my assessments of what I see and what I think may happen. They are by no means the product of a psychic mind. I have no psychic ability. Psychotic. Got it. No psychic ability whatsoever. And as the great American philosopher Yogi Berra once said, predicting is really hard, especially about the future. That guy knew stuff. We used to have 3 minutes or so before the top of the hour. Excellent. So my anxiety builds moment by moment. I go from here, go get into my duds. I'm not wearing my duds. I am wearing duds, but I'm not wearing the duds. I wish I wasn't using the word dud. It's kind of, speaking of psychic, I hope that's not like preview of coming attractions for later. So we hope we've covered a lot of information. We answered a lot of great questions this morning. Thank you to all of our callers. Thank you to Tiffany Shutta of Reverse Mortgage Funding for being our reverse mortgage expert this morning. We hope you picked up some really, really good ideas. If you had not heard earlier, our newsletter for August is out, and it has a lot of information about our event coming up on 9/11. And lots of great questions and answers from you. And I tied my comments, my words comment at the end of the newsletter. If you're a subscriber, you've seen it every month, to my preparation for my school presentation. Because it occurred to me that there are some powerful words that have largely been elbowed to the side. When I was in elementary school, we started every day with a prayer. The Lord's Prayer, typically. We started every day with a reading from the Scripture. And then we started every day with the Pledge of Allegiance. We stood, we faced the flag, we put our hands over our hearts, and we said the Pledge of Allegiance. And when was the last time you saw that being done? I'll tell you what, I was at Grandview to see Bobby Gunter Walsh a few weeks back, and at the playing of the national anthem, people stood. They took their hats off. They faced the flag. They sang proudly. It's impressive. It's beautiful. Folks, if we can help you, if we can offer you a free second opinion, if we can invite you into our offices, if we can answer your questions, all you need to do is ask. Please send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com. Go to our website, morethanmoneyonline.com. Great things in the future of our website. Pay close attention. Stay tuned. morethanmoneyonline.com. And of course, you can go old school on us. See how I use school right there? Old school. Yeah, okay. All you have to do is call 610-746-7007. 610-746-7007. 0007. Folks, thank you so very much for being part of the show. God bless you and your entire family. I hope you have a great week. We'll see you next time on More Than Money.